Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Hi, I'm Eva.
And I'm Kylie.
Welcome back to another episode.
We're so happy to have you here. It's a good one.
Oh my God, I'm like so excited about this episode, y'all. I have been waiting all week to hear from Kylie about her story, and I think we're in for a treat. So like,
yeah,
literally I've been waiting all week. Like she texted me, well, I mean, if you guys can't already tell from the title of this podcast, she texted me, was that? What day was that?
It feels like 8 years ago, but it was Thursday. We're recording on Monday. This will launch all of you on Wednesday. So like a week. Anyways, it was Thursday and, y'all, I got fired.
And you knew it was coming too. You texted me before and you're like, oh God, I have a meeting with my boss.
Yes, that's actually true. Backing up is I got an invite to a meeting with my bosses that said, catch up. No good meeting ever was called catch up. No good surprise meeting was ever called catch up. And let me just say this, be careful what you try to manifest, everybody. Just if you keep saying I'm manifesting a layoff with severance, you might get fired.
Yep.
Turns out.
This is why it's so juicy, because in all actuality, as complicated as I'm sure it feels, this is also something like I know that you've wanted for a long time. Like even off the record, even when Kylie and I are just, you know, sending messages to each other and having conversations, this is something Kylie and I have both talked about. It's her freedom.
Yeah. I messaged someone earlier this week and was like, I'm obsessed with working for myself full time. Mm-hmm. My obsession has now become my reality.
Oh my God. Yeah. So as you guys, the listeners, you can see why I've just been like so excited to talk to Kylie. I've had so many questions and I've just been holding them back for this.
Well, and I kind of like, there's so many emotions that come up with, and also just to clarify, I get really upset when people misuse layoff and fired. I'm like, this is a situation because
that's what I'm curious about. So you got, right. So
I think, I don't know what is technically, what like they're classifying it as, but I am being let go because they have decided I'm not a fit for the role. So this isn't like a COVID layoff. This is like a, we don't want you, Kylie, layoff. Mm-hmm. Which I also knew was coming and is its own interesting journey, which we can get into. But I will just say to all my people out there who've actually been fired, nothing pisses me off more when someone says, oh, I got fired, when they got laid off. Because like, it's a particular emotional thing you have to process when you got fired because someone was like, you, we don't want you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's different than like, we can't afford you.
Circumstantially, we have to let you go.
Which
totally.
Also totally sucks. Like, I'm not trying to like make light of it, but I just want to say like, language is important and be fair to all of us who actually got fired.
Totally.
Call it a layoff if you got laid off.
Noted. Yeah. Okay. So can we start from the beginning?
Yeah. Where do we begin? When I was a baby? No.
Well, actually in the beginning for me really is like, even before we started this podcast, you had been having these conversations, these like really sort of like soulful, you were sharing your dreams with me about like, you just work for yourself. You want to be at home. You want to be able to spend more time with your kids. Like all the times that like you've texted me to be like, God, you know, I wish I just had more time to work on my business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think in a way, there's so many different, it's hard to even like, so I haven't even talked to a lot of people about it. Like even my poor mom is like was very patiently just waiting for me to call her. She was the first person I called. And then after that, I just like didn't call her back for a couple of days. Cause I was just like processing and not even like super emotional, but just like metabolizing, like what just happened, you know? So it's almost hard to talk about cause it's a little bit like, where to begin. But the truth is I've wanted to work for myself for a very long time. I just don't like working for other people, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how much I like working for myself because it's new. But so let me say this. I haven't talked about my job a lot on the podcast because I still had it. But now, cat's out of the bag. I can say whatever I want. So I have.
Oh, ooh, yeah. I like like this.
So I have been in sales my whole like professional career, more or less. And in this current role, I worked for a startup and I started there as a sales rep. And quickly my bosses were like, oh, well, actually I tried to quit and they gave me a promotion instead to lead the department. So for the past 2 years, I have been leading a team of 22 people, which is a fucking bananas number of people to manage. Let me just say, like, most research says that like we max out at 6.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I was managing 22 direct reports, no like admin support, no like backup, just like me and 22 people. And
you had like a legit corporate fancy schmancy big job.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I had like, I had an office with a door and that was when I knew I made it. And you know, 22 people
can't even see you in corporate America.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. I have so many blazers, Eva.
Okay, what do you wear to work? That's what I was going to ask. What do you wear to work?
No, my bosses are very, they're not overly formal. And I have always worked in higher ed publishing, which is like a bunch of academics. So if you show up in a three piece suit to meet with an academic, they're like, mm-hmm. So yeah. I've always had like a little bit of a less formal wardrobe, but still I own a lot of blazers.
Noted.
And yeah, I had 22 people reporting to me and I did everything from recruiting because it was small. So we didn't have an HR and we would hire like 10, one year we hired 15 people in like a 3 month window. And I did everything from like scanning their resumes to interviewing, to hiring, to training, to managing, setting our like corporate sales goals, managing people one-on-one, leading team meetings, managing, like I built from scratch our national sales meetings where we would all get together and I would like orchestrate like I didn't orchestrate the logistics of like when people were getting food because then mm-hmm. no one would have eaten. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like filling out the agenda, I planned like these 2-day conferences for the whole company. I did
wow. everything. I don't know how the business. Hell you were doing your side. Well, not, you know, you were doing the Akashic record reading, like all this stuff and your corporate job and 2 kids and this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why I was burning out. And then I would also travel on campus and help like train people and help like people fine tune their skills. And I would go and like try to help people close business. And for 22 people, it was a fucking lot. And what started to happen, and for a while, it was the best job I ever had. Like mm-hmm. I mean, it's why I love coaching, right? Like I love training people. I've always loved training people on how to sell. My specialty is like the people who hire who never had a like direct sales job before, or like people who are a little timid. Like I love when people sell who think that they can't do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you remember, you and I met shortly after I think you got that position.
Yes, that's right. I had just started.
Because I remember you were really excited. You were like, well, actually, I was going to quit, but then they hired me to lead this team. So
yeah. Really, I tried to quit to just go be a sales rep somewhere else. And they were like, how about lead the team? But the fatal flaw in the very beginning was that it was a job where, you know, my bosses, it's a small company and it's their baby. And so they didn't really want to let up the reins of the sales department. And so always it was a job where like I was in charge, but also not in charge.
Oh, that's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
No.
It was. And so it was like, the flaw was there from the beginning. And I remember stepping into the role thinking that the problem would be earning the respect of my peers who I was now managing. Mm-hmm. But it turned out to be more that once my bosses and I started to have tension about what the vision was, mm-hmm. like I never got runway to be like, oh, well, like it's your department, so try it for a little while. And mm-hmm. then we'll like, they were just too close.
Yeah.
I don't blame them because it's their baby. Even though I think basically what I've been saying to people is I think that they're wrong and that I think their vision is wrong, which I can get into if anyone cares, but I don't think that they're making the wrong decision in that you can't have a completely opposite vision of how to manage a team mm-hmm. in a small company and have it like work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're like, you can empathize with them, but at the same time, like if I know anything about leadership is that like good leadership is that you actually let people learn and figure it out and do their damn job or else essentially they're just your assistant and then, and then they're like overwhelmed and you're overwhelmed and no one's getting like the support they need.
Yeah. And so as anyone who listens to this podcast knows, like I care very much. I mean, I very much believe like you have the thing about sales like anything, you have to think you're good at it to be good at it. Like if you, of all the things in the world, if you think you're a shitty salesperson, you are going to be a shitty salesperson. Mm-hmm. So I'm always interested in like finding the balance between how do you like hold people accountable while also making them believe that they're fucking rock stars, which is again, similar to coaching, right? Like my job is to help you stretch into this like version of yourself that you can see that you are trying to stretch into. And so there's a way that we have to hold our clients accountable, right? And also lovingly be like, you can fucking do this. And also like, you got to show up and do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think, you know, people as widgets kind of won out.
Yeah. Which is, I think, what you were sort of, feeling. Like that's what, I'm assuming that's what it led to you not loving your job so much. Cause like you said, you started loving it and then.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then it was hard because I also think, for a while my bosses and I were on a similar, like, for a while my bosses and I complimented each other. Like one of my bosses and I would joke that we were like good cop, bad cop. And I was like the nice one and he was like the tough one and it worked well. But what happened is I think I got more and more into this work of like, oh my gosh, our job is to like recognize that we're like unfathomably powerful, like celestial beings. And that's showing up at work, right? And then at the same time, my boss is like, you know, my bosses were shifting more towards like running their number, their business as consultants. Right. And so like what worked well and wasn't overlap started to like be too far apart and create too much friction. And then I think I was like growing more of like, okay, I've been doing this job for 2 years now. Like I have all these things that I want to implement. And they were like, oh, whoa, the vision was never actually that you totally run the department.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, like the vision was always like, you're like the coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm incapable of keeping my fucking mouth shut. Like,
good. Yes. I know. I love this. Cause
like for those of you who listen to astrology, I'm Libra rising. So I'm totally a people pleaser and very diplomatic, but I'm an Aries moon, which means that I cannot fucking keep my mouth shut. So I will like fall over myself to try to say my opinion in a way that will be diplomatic, but I'm not, it is just not an option for me to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. And I love that. I always think that's a very admirable trait. It's like, keep it real. If it's like there, you have to say, I'm the same way. Like you have to say it. Like to me, like that silence is not an option, even though, I mean, yeah, speaking from experience, it's not always great either, I guess.
Right.
But I don't know. I think there's something, to me anyway, there's something admirable about that.
I mean, I tend to think that way, but then I'm also, I think so too. And I, you know, and again, so it just stopped working and it truthfully wasn't working for a while. And I was just feeling like a little suffocated because I felt like, you know, when something doesn't fit anymore, it just sucks, you know, and it sucks. It also sucks to be in a position, I'm sure there are people listening to this who can relate, where like, the things that you're good at either don't matter or you don't have a chance to use them. And you start to feel like you're not good at all these other things, right? So like there are things that I'm great at, but they either weren't important or there wasn't space for them. And so I was starting to feel like, oh, maybe I'm just not actually good at things.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, you know what I mean?
You are being, this is such an important thing. This comes up with my clients a lot. Like we have to be able to use our gifts in our job or else we feel completely unsatisfied. It's like these things have to line up. That's how I think people find satisfaction and meaning in work. It's like your gifts must be used. And then when they're not used, exactly like you said, you start to feel really self-conscious. And being self-conscious at work sucks. It's like the worst feeling. And I've been there.
And I don't think it's that, I totally agree with you. I don't think that your gifts have to show up at work, meaning like you have to work for yourself and be an entrepreneur. And right. Like I, for a while, my gifts were totally what was needed in this job. And I freaking loved this job. So I think that's
Even in a corporate job, like if sometimes you're really good at like leading people or putting together like presentations, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. But like a lot of people have those gifts that they can apply to their corporate jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so it was just, and it was like, it was just as a real emotional weight because I have two small kids in quarantine building a business that's like, you know, scaling comfortably. And so therefore like requires a lot of love and attention, having a podcast, having a corporate job with 22 direct reports. And I felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown.
Oh my gosh, you know, yeah.
I mean, not a nervous breakdown. That's not true. Well, I did one day drive to the beach and just think like,
yeah, I mean, eventually something had to give. And honestly, I saw this coming, not you getting fired, but I didn't know that you had a lot on your plate. And I didn't know that at some point, something like was just going to happen. Yeah. Cause there's no, it wasn't, yeah, no, you know, you're basically, I mean, you are superwoman. The fact that you're able to balance all of that, but even like the most super of people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's a lot.
Well, and you know, I had actually just the week before had a whole conversation with my husband that was like, okay, well, I can't keep doing all the things. And I actually had decided that I was going to like pull back on trying to, like, I was like, I have a few one-on-one clients, but I'm actually not going to like take on any more one-on-one clients because something has to, but JK, I got fired. So all of you who want to work one-on-one with me, now my calendar's open.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to get into the details about that. Okay. About like what's next, like what this means. I don't even know if you've had a chance to think about it, but I think, I don't know. Do you want to talk about like what actually happened when your boss?
Sure. I mean, cause if I were listening, I would want to know all the juicy details.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is a little anticlimactic though. So I got a calendar invite that said catch up, and I knew it was not good. And I was like, no matter what, I'm going to walk away from this conversation disappointed and relieved, because either they're going to tell me why they're like unhappy with me and I'm not fired. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be relieved that I have my job, and I'm going to be disappointed that I just have to listen to them be unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I should also say, my bosses are really good people and we get along, and they have been like super, super amicable throughout all of this. And like, everyone's just people doing their best, having different visions. Like I have worked for assholes in the past. Mm-hmm. This is not a situation where I work for assholes. Like,
yeah,
they're good people. We just have different visions, and mm-hmm. it's their company. So they have to honor their vision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to make that super clear. And I was like, or I'm going to get fired, and then I'm going to be really disappointed because I got fired, but I'm going to be relieved because I'll be able to like, you know, do the thing.
When you texted me that you were having that, like you had this call on your calendar, I was thinking you would have been disappointed if you weren't fired.
I think I would have, but I'm also a little disappointed. It's, you know, that's
of the course. Thing. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So anyways, I got, you know, so all day I like told a bunch of people, I was like, uh-oh, I have this meeting. And again, guys, I'm psychic. So like, I did know what this meeting was. So I go to call in, and the only time in my life I'm early for something, I go to call into the meeting 2 minutes early. And like the way my company's like virtual call thing work, before I entered the meeting, I could see who was already there, and I could see that the person who runs our HR was there. And I was like, well, that clears up what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Which I was grateful for, because I then had a minute to just like sit and kind of digest before.
What were your feelings at that moment? Like, how are you feeling?
I had that like shaky feeling of like, this is really happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, when it's like a big deal, your whole body like, trembles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And they were very respectful. And I was also, again, because part of me was like, it's a weird thing to want something that is also very difficult to receive. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will also say, I don't know. There's so many things to say. The thing that is cool about this experience, it was a pretty transparent, pretty quick conversation that was like, okay, we all know that we have different visions, and like, we're too small a company for that to work. And so we're going to let you go, but we're doing right by you, and we're going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. We'll talk tomorrow. And then we talked the next morning, and like a dummy, I volunteered to wrap up some project that they were not expecting me to wrap up. I was just like, I think I was trying to prove so much to myself that this was fine, and I wasn't upset about it. And then like, now I'm trying to wrap up some project that I give no shits about.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I really wanted to be like, look at how good I am. You know?
Yeah.
Which was dumb, but it's fine. I did blow them away when I volunteered that.
Yeah.
Which was satisfying. Yeah. And then I've had a ton of people who report to me reach out to be like, you're the best manager I've ever had. I do think most of my team thinks I quit because I've been so chill about
it. Yeah. Wait, so how did they know? Because you told them?
Because then we told them.
Okay.
That I was moving on. Yeah. And then, but yeah, I've had a ton of people reaching out to be like, you know, you're the best manager I've ever had. Like people who I would never have expected to hear from. It's just been like very, very, very
affirming,
very sweet and affirming, but yeah. Also kind of made me sad because I'm like, oh man, I was doing that with one arm tied behind my back. Like imagine what, you know, like, yeah, could have been. And then
I have to interrupt, but that, to that point though, this is something that I think about all the time. It's like this idea of like climbing up the right ladder. It's like, yeah, imagine what you could have done if you were actually like all in, but like you would have been climbing up a ladder going in the wrong direction.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? It's like
a good point. Yeah.
It's like you're going up, but wrong way.
No, exactly. And going up in a way that like, I mean, this was a great company also, to my boss's credit. Like it's a place where work-life balance like actually is respected. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to work around the clock, but I, you know, had to commute and had, you know, it just took up, you know, like it's a job.
Yeah.
You know,
and traveling, up. Like,
and if it I traveled, for, which was sucked yeah. with my kids and then I had a bunch of the people on our development team reached out to be really sad. I feel like developers, if there's anyone listening who's like a programmer, I feel like you guys know, like, you know, you have to do the work of like cleaning things up for everybody else. So like to have a developer be like, I'm really sad that you're leaving, feels like, oh man, you know I'm smart and work hard because I didn't cause mess for you and I made your life easier. Mm. That's very comforting.
So wait, when's your last day?
Tomorrow, Tuesday. So by the time you guys are listening to this, I will be full-time self-employed.
Oh shit. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Thank I know. You. Thank you. Thank wait, you. Hold on. Okay. So your last day is tomorrow. Do you get like severance?
Yes.
They're going to send you really off. Well.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And do you feel like they knew that you were like kind of, would you say you were kind of checked out? Is that an accurate description?
I think I was burnt out, which led to me being checked out.
Yeah. Do you think that they sense that?
I don't know if they sensed that or if they just sensed how much it just like wasn't, because I would get all like, because then I would get all animated about things and be like, I have this great idea, but it wasn't the ideas that they wanted. And then it would be apparent that that wasn't the idea they wanted. Then I would just like had to go back to the corner. So I don't know that they saw it through that lens. I don't actually entirely know what they saw, but I don't know that I ever will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm just managing all the fucking feelings and, just doing the thing for myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we talk about some of those feelings? Yeah. It wouldn't be this podcast if we didn't dive in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, where to begin? Like, it's just, I feel like it's just a roller coaster of like, some days I'm like, I'm fucking awesome. I'm going to like be a millionaire. I'm buying a lake house. Like, just like sign me up. Oprah, here I come.
Yep.
Like, look what I did working nights and weekends. Now I'm going to have like actual time. Like this is, I'm going to wake up and fucking meditate because I'm not going to need to work until, you know, 1 a.m. And then other times I'm like, oh, this just fucking sucks. And it hurts to be rejected. You know, even though the thing that feels really a marker of growth is that like, I feel very confident in myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like, I don't feel angry. Maybe I just feel like I did the best that I could in the circumstances. My best is actually awesome. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't the awesome they needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's actually very surprising to me. This word rejected, I wasn't expecting that to come up because I don't feel like that's what happened. Okay, so the other thing I want to bring up is I very much remember that from our previous conversations, like probably off podcast, but one of like the sort of, there's like a pivotal moment in your life when you got fired from your first job.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah, that's it, dear listeners. This is my second time getting fired, which I will say, I got fired from my first job. I'm the ultimate overachiever. I got like practically straight A's all through school. Mm-hmm. I got fired from my first job out of college. And I am now saying I got fired from my last job out of a corporate job. That's how I'm spinning this, which is its own like fascinating book. And in between that, so I got fired from my first job out of college. It was devastating. I mean, devastating. I was like really deep depression. I did not want to be done with college. I missed that like safety and security. I identified so much of my self-worth in like the work that I do. And so to have that had not worked out was truly one of the hardest experiences of my life. But I turned around, got the exact same job at another company, hustled my ass off, got a huge promotion within a year. And then like, that's been my professional like track record since then, is that like Kylie has like huge accolades and like does very well. And like, anytime I was like ready to move on from a job, it like took me like weeks to get a new job. And I don't say that to brag. I just say like, I like fell into this pit of despair and then just climbed out and was like, oh, actually I am fucking unstoppable professionally. Like I can do amazing things. Which is why getting fired this time feels interesting, because I can see the work of that, because I don't, like, I am sad. I am sad, but also I can see how much, like, this isn't, that I wasn't enough.
Yeah, exactly. So this is why I'm saying this idea of rejection. I don't think they rejected you. I mean, that's not, based on what you told me, I think they were saying, well, I mean, maybe you got, not you as in your work ethic and like what you're doing, you guys just had like different ideas. My whole thing is like, it really doesn't sound like
I'm also giving you like the other juicy details where like my boss and I got in fights like a couple months ago. I'm kind of skipping over some of that part.
Okay. But yeah, but I'm assuming you guys got in fights because you didn't agree.
Right. But I took those personally. I think that was interesting. There were moments in the period of this job not being a fit, it felt very personal. So yeah, it's interesting to me now that the resolution doesn't feel personal, because I think I felt trapped and I didn't know how to make them see my point of view. And like, so when it wasn't working, it felt personal. So it's interesting to have it now, not have like, it's done now. And somehow it's like feels freed from being personal. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But this whole time I've just been seeing it, again, because I'm not involved. So it's obviously easier for me to see it that way. But I've just been seeing it as like, oh, it's totally not personal. And also like, from my perspective, it's like, it makes sense that you got fired, because honestly, you had other shit going on that was more important to you, that like you weren't giving your job your like 100% all. Like if we're being real, let's just be honest, like that's true. And that's probably why.
But that's what's funny. That's not why. Right? Like that's that may be true, but that's actually not what the reason is.
Okay. So then even more reason that it's not personal, I feel like.
I know. No, you're right. But it's still, there's another version of this unfolding where my processing is all about like all the things I could have done different or better, or all the times they could have seen me different or better, right? There's a version of like this where I get caught in loops around like, this is unfair and I worked so hard and why wasn't I enough? And that's not playing out for me. Playing out for me is like, oh fuck, I hope that financially this works, but I don't feel like I'm not even, I don't know. Does that make sense? What are the distinction I'm trying to make?
I think so. Wait, so I'm hearing you, I'm almost kind of hearing you say that you're not taking it personally.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But the invitation, the door is there. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not, it feels like a victory that I'm not taking it personally, because I can see very clearly the door that I could go down. That is like, Kylie has a pity party and takes this really personally. Cause that script is available.
Right. Which is why I brought up this whole thing about the first time you got fired, because we know that the first time it was so personal, and like also
really personal.
We're in a time in our lives where our jobs are like our everything, and it's like our identity and all of these things. And I think your evolution is like, now you can actually have a separation, which isn't to say, by the way, I don't want to take away your pity party. I don't want you to take away like any of that stuff, because if you feel those things too, also like, you know, let those things have their life for sure.
Yeah.
But it does sound like there's been real evolution here. Real.
Yeah. I think that is very true. And it's funny because I actually wrote a post on Facebook like 2 weeks ago where I talked about getting fired from my first job. And I talked about how, like, I dug deep and I kind of healed this story around, like, I'm not good enough professionally. And then I've had this really amazing career, but I never really healed the, like, money anxiety. Cause right, I got fired and, like, so, you know, back in a million years ago, and both career and money anxiety popped up, and I healed the career anxiety. Like, I went real deep and was like, nope, this is not going to define me. I'm amazing. Like, I'm going to have an awesome career, but I didn't heal the money anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I've had that my whole adult life, mm-hmm. regardless of how much money I make. I am, like, just stressed about money. Right. Yeah. Which is just the evidence of, like, it's not tied to the number. Cause I just have this whole story of, like, I can't manage funds. I'm not, whatever the stories that we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's really funny because literally I can link y'all to it. 2 weeks ago, I wrote a post that was like, now's my opportunity to heal my
Oh my God. Are you like, oh, this is so annoying. Cause now it's like, I've got exactly, like, what you asked for.
Literally, I wrote the script for this and here we are. Wow. And that's honestly, that is the thing that I am for. That is what's playing out over and over and over again in my head. It's not like, can I manage, like, the logistics of, like, running my own business, or can I help my clients, or can I run great courses? It's none of that. Like, all of the anxiety is getting dumped into, like, will this work financially?
Yeah.
So the universe apparently also read my Facebook post.
Well, then she'll continue to read your other posts and your other things that you're manifesting, which is, I think, a fabulous career and, you know, next stop, Oprah.
Next off, Oprah. Before that, Brene Brown is coming on our podcast.
Yep.
And then next off, Oprah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's where I'm at. Any more juicy questions for Mike?
Well, yeah. I'm kind of like, so, what's next? Like, have you had a chance to think about, like, you touched on this briefly, but this is where I feel like it gets really juicy, and this is the fun part. It's like, imagining my new life. Like, what is it? What are the possibilities? What's the new page? You've been wanting to work from home. I guess you have been working from home because of the pandemic, but, like, I'm like, I can't wait for you to get some rest, honestly. Like, I cannot wait for you to fucking give yourself, hopefully, some permission to,
you know, it's been nice. Like, I've just been able to find some moments of, like, just, on Thursday, so this happened Thursday. So anyways, Thursday or Friday, yes, this week, my son was napping and my daughter, like, ran around the house doing whatever 1.5-year-olds find entertaining. And I washed the dishes for like half an hour. And it was the first time in like months where I didn't feel like I should be doing something else. It was the first time around, because just I've constantly been feeling like, if I'm with my kids, I'm also checking Facebook. If I'm, you know, working my job, I also was thinking about my business. If I'm working on my business, I'm thinking I should be spending time with my kids. Like, I was just constantly doing all the things at the same time, which A, meant nothing was really getting done as much as I would have liked, but also, like, just wasn't present, and I was just, like, stressed and miserable. And it was like, it felt so, like, truly peaceful just to, like, wash some dishes and, like, have her run around and, like, pop her head in everyone's mouth and be like, and it just made me realize how much I have just been unable to, I mean, I could have done that. I just was choosing not to, you know. I don't mean to, I don't, like, but it's definitely easier to have something so huge taken off my plate.
Of course. So. I mean, also, like, I'm like, welcome to, like, I don't know, work for yourself life. Cause now you can wake up at fucking, or like meditate when you wake up in the morning, take your time to make your tea, like do all those things. Like, you can take your kids to the, this is what I love doing the most, is I hate going anywhere on the weekends because it's always super crowded. You can take your kids to the beach in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
When no one's there, whatever, you know, like on the off hours, and just have a fucking day, and your husband can be at home. Maybe he'll get some stuff done. Like, there's a whole, like, this whole, I don't know, this whole world opens up kind of like, oh, whoa, I have time.
And it's really nice because this upcoming week, we're going up to where my parents live for a week to, like, have a little staycation up there. And then the week after that, we rented a house on the beach, like not too far from where we are, for, to go away with my in-laws. And so we kind of have like two vacations in like a 2.5-week period. So that will be really great. Cause I do feel like on the one hand, I feel a lot of pressure to like, okay, now it's time, hustle, show up, do the things. And on the other hand, I'm like, I just am like emotional and tired. And I wanted, there are things that I want to do, which I can talk about in a second, but also I can just feel how deeply I need to just like be still. So I'm grateful that that's like kind of built in, you know,
yeah,
to be on vacation. Cause otherwise I don't think it would be harder to access that. So.
Oh, that's so interesting. I don't know for anyone. Yeah, I know listeners can't see us as we record, but I'm making a face like, fuck yes. Like if I were a doctor, I would write you a prescription for like, you need to rest, Kylie. Like if you're telling me that you're thinking, like, don't get me wrong. Of course, I completely understand. Yes. There's this instant sort of like drive either based on like motivation or fear or whatever, excitement to like go and now's the time to start. But like, I don't know. You know, I don't know how else to say it. Like rest is so important. And you've just been going on all cylinders for so long. I'm like, oh my God, girl, now you have time to rest. Like if you don't take this time, I'm going to be mad at you. That's how I feel.
I know. And that's why I'm like grateful that it's like vacation. Cause it invites itself to more because I think, you know, I have this, I think my big money anxiety is basically like, I have to prove this can work, this me running my own business, or I have to get a new job. Mm-hmm. And so I have this pressure of like, there's a ticking clock, right? How long until you prove the model? Because otherwise you have to like super double down and get a new job, get a like real job, quote unquote real job. And I also don't want to wait until my family's backs are up against the wall and then I don't get to choose
quote-unquote
real job, you know what I mean? Or the corporate job. So
well, when I say rest though, by the way, I'm talking like a week.
I know.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah. Like a week, like just a week to just like catch up on life, maybe clean something that you've been wanting, you know, like,
oh this is, God, my house is a fucking disaster.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably just I'm talking like, oh, just like a week. And that, you know how I feel about these things, or do you? I don't know. I feel like I'm talking about this stuff on Instagram all the time. Like rest is actually like that investment will help you actually show up doubly in the future.
It's true.
It's not like, oh, I'm resting and I'm wasting time. It's actually, no, like once you were rested, it's that same feeling of like, you know, you were doing it with one arm tied behind your back. What would it be like if you were there, you know, completely?
Yeah.
Same thing. If once you're rested and also sleep contributes to not being so anxious, like anxiety and your nervous system are all connected to sleep. Like it's a real thing. When you get some sleep, you will feel calmer and you will feel like way more like open and all the ideas will come and more focused and all of that stuff. So
no, it's very, 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 very true. Because when we're rest, then I think that we slip into, like, I don't think we make good decisions from our mind. I think we make our best decisions from our heart. Mm-hmm. I think the ego and the mind, like it has a role to play. Mm-hmm. But I think if we don't rest, we're just constantly up in our heads and we never make good decisions from our heads.
Yep, exactly.
Maybe other people might find their best decisions come somewhere else. But for me, it's the heart. Like, you know.
Oh, I would say, I would go as far as to say everybody makes the best decision not their head, somewhere.
No, I do agree. Everyone makes the best decisions not from their head. But I recognize that some people might be like, oh, I feel the truth, like, in my gut.
Oh, I see. Right.
So I don't want to like over prescribe. Sometimes they're like, sitting there like, what about my gut? Is that one not right? You know?
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
Yeah. So,
and also like, I don't know, when we're rested and like, and more balanced. Yeah. It really is like, it's like fuel to do like our best work. I really think that that's true. Like better ideas, you're more efficient actually when you like finally sit down to like do the thing that you need to do, more inspired. It's like I'm a big fan of rest, but that's also because I am like you. Like I can get super hyper focused on the things that I really care about. I can get anxious and like work from that space. I can do all that stuff, but I think maybe because I don't know. Again, it's funny that I'm saying these things because I can't at all pretend to be an expert, but I do think that having run my own business for a while and also working with having Adam, who's like much more chill than I am, be my partner, really like, I have to like ingrain these things into myself or else my business won't work.
Yeah. The thing that's tricky is that my partner is a lot like you,
right? Oh, right. He's the Capricorn in the family.
Cap, sun, and moon. So we are both like really driven. Like we're both like very security, stability minded. We're both like really invested in like being able to like, you know, I don't know. So, and you know, my husband isn't, I mean, I just actually just want to like shout out to my husband, 'cause he's been incredible. Like, he has been, we've obviously had like 1,000 conversations since this, mm-hmm. and like, you know, definitely, you know, I've promised like, look, I'll keep applying to jobs, 'cause we're in a pandemic. So mm-hmm. who knows how long it would take to even find one. So like, let alone one that's like worth taking. And like relative to what I'm doing in my own business, but also he's been like, look, as long as you keep applying to jobs, like I also just to have that there mm-hmm. for our family, mm-hmm. Like I completely believe in you and I support you. I mean, he's just been like really, aww. Really like my cheerleader of like, great. I can't wait till you buy us our lake. This is my thing. This is my new manifestation. Since I was so successful at manifesting a layoff, my new manifestation is to buy a house on a lake. That's why.
Oh my God. I love that.
I know. 'Cause I love our house, but it's like we bought it without kids and like, we're ready. We're ready at some point. So I'm like, I'm like, okay, this job is gonna, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm rambling, but yeah, my like Nick has just been like so beautiful and so supportive and like has had my back in a way that I'm deeply, deeply grateful for. Has just been like, yeah, this wasn't the job. Like, this wasn't a fit for you. Like, we all saw this coming. You know what I mean? He hasn't at all been like, well, you should have done next, you know, he's been the epitome of a supportive partner. Like,
shout out to supportive partners.
He's the best.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hear all of that again. And I just want to go back to this idea of like, yeah, obviously there's real shit, there's real bills, there's real life. But I think like thinking about rest is like, and hopefully maybe that'll just get like naturally ingrained into your life anyway, right? Because now you don't have to like be at work for however many hours a day. So it might just happen. But when I say rest, it doesn't have to be forever, but just some time to recuperate.
No, and I actually think I am pretty good at resting once the space opens up, I think I think the trick for me is choosing nourishing rest instead of like distracting rest.
Yep. That's
you know, like sit down and read a book instead of scroll through Facebook or watch a movie instead of a dumb reality TV show. Like it's not like always has to be highbrow, but like doing things that are more nourishing.
Totally. Yeah.
Side note, speaking of nourishing, I bought a juicer. I'm fucking obsessed. It's changing my life. That's actually what I'm going to be doing with my unemployed life, is I'm going to just be juicing everything I can find.
Yeah. Welcome. I also made a bunch of juice today.
Yeah. Oh, I talked about it on the last podcast. Guys, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I have like, it's COVID. What else do we have going on?
Yeah. And also, bitch just got fired. So.
Yeah. Let me have my choice. Like, simple choice.
Okay. So are you excited about possibilities for growing this?
Oh my God.
Growing yes, like.
I have 8,000 fucking ideas all the time. Mm-hmm. And. Oh God, I didn't even talk about this. Okay. I'm sorry. This is just me talking so much on the show.
No, this is what I wanted. I wanted to get the updates.
So also in the way that the universe responds to things. So I got laid off on Thursday and Friday. Oh no, I guess I'm sorry. It was Wednesday. It was Wednesday that I got laid off. Thursday, we confirmed the date. Anyways, Friday I had a client session with an incredible person who I've become internet friends with. And I'm not going to talk about her session except to say, this is wild, has never happened before, but usually when I'm in the records, I channel like it's anonymous, right? It's like just this, like the general energy of your guides. I don't usually channel like, oh, and like now, like your great grandmother has stepped forward or like this one particular, mm-hmm. it's usually just like, I've asked about it and other clients have actually asked about it. The response is like, well, because at least the way I read the records is really an intention to help our ego kind of chill, mm-hmm. that the kind of anonymous, like we're just like a loving entity. We're not going to get into the specifics is part of that process. Right. Mm-hmm. This client's parent who is alive, I channeled their living person's soul.
Whoa.
I still cannot even find, like, if I recognize how weird that sounds.
So what happened?
We were both sobbing. It was the most powerful experience I've ever had in the records. It was truly, truly beautiful, like incredibly healing, I think, for both of us. Mm-hmm. And then after that after her session, I felt like I was going to float away. Like, I felt so fucking weird. Talk about juicing. I literally juiced like 3 cups of carrot and beet juice. I was like, I need something to grab. And then I went and I laid outside. I took my dog and I just laid in the grass. Whoa. And then I ate like 5 pieces of pizza in one sitting. Oh, wow. And then I fell asleep at 8 o'clock at night.
That all sounds great.
It was actually great, but it was.
Wait, so hold on. So like, yeah. You said their parent, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So did you know it was their parent, or do they come in and they're like, oh, this is like my name?
The work was around the relationship with his parent. Okay, okay, and okay. So like, I like started channeling and was like, oh, by the way, like this is who I'm channeling. And
That's
wild and beautiful and like
intense.
Very intense. Yeah. And also like, ever since then, I'm like, oh, I've known for a while that I am just scratching the surface of like what is possible in terms of healing in the records. Mm-hmm. Like, and like the ways in which I am able to offer people even deeper healings. Like, I've known that, but I didn't know what to do with it. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay, great. Now you have the space. So boom, here's the assignment. Mm-hmm. You know?
Do you feel like, this is a question that I've had about the records. Do you feel like it's something like the more you do, whether it's like it's like more experience or the more time you spend in there or whatever, like then I don't know how to word this question. Like the powers get stronger.
I do. Yeah. I do. Cause I feel like, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes, you know, because you hear me talk about this in our course, the biggest mistake people make about trying to learn through the records is they over prioritize the message. And there's so much healing that's happening on such a deeper level that I think things are constantly being cleared out, basically. And when you're in the records, and I think that my own ability to kind of like slip in and out and receive messages and like understand, like there's a greater understanding, but then there's also definitely just like, it's any skill, right? I mean, like I imagine you would say the same thing about meditation, right? Like the longer your meditation practice, you know, now you've had one for however many years, like I imagine, not to speak for you, but like you experience a deeper stillness because it's something you've stayed with for so long.
Yes, I think that's true, but I think they're very different experiences and skills in that what I mean is like when you channel, like the depth of, I don't know why it feels different, but it's like you can do more. Do you know what I mean? Like the depth. Yeah. And so something like, I think this is a great example. Like, previously having it just be more like an energy that you're channeling, and then now having it be really specific and like, you know, and then going on to like maybe ancestors and like people from past lives, like that does seem like a different thing.
Yeah, no, I do think that like, so maybe meditation isn't the like perfect comparison. Maybe a better comparison is like practicing basketball. Like you get better and better at like, right, you know? Right. So I do think you're kind of, gifts strengthen. I think that happens on one level from practice. I think it also happens from like leaning into an ability to trust the records. Like I can now sense when I'm coming up on the edge of something new, because I can't really describe it, but I can feel that there's an invitation to go deeper, and I kind of get to choose. Like in the beginning it would happen. Like I still remember once, this was earlier, and there was a woman who like asked do you send me signs so that I can like know that you're with me? And the answer very clearly came back like, yeah, we send you rainbows. And I remember thinking like, that's too specific. If I say that and I'm wrong, like, but I said it anyway. And then later she was like, that was amazing. I see rainbows all the time. Mm-hmm. And so there's like moments for me when I'm like brushing up against like either going deeper or being more specific, and like, I have the choice, and this is a spiritual lesson for all of us, like, I have the choice to trust what's coming up for me and lean into it, mm-hmm. or stay in this smaller space. If I trust and lean into it, it expands, and then, like, what I'm able to offer people expands. But if I resist, I stay in a smaller place. And that's can be fine, because the invitation will just rise up again later, and I can choose to expand or stay in the smaller place then.
So do you, in comparison, this is an interesting, so smaller space as in that moment, do you feel like it's like a lesser place?
Is no, I don't think, I don't mean lesser, but I just mean
like you can either go deeper or stay where you are.
Or stay where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't think that there's a value. I think we ascribe a value judgment to that, but I think
that's true. Yeah. Humans do. And our egos do, but like,
yeah, but I don't think there's judgment of like, you're unworthy of doing this work or you're not good enough. It's just like, you know, when you're ready, this is here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm sure I can ask you more questions about that, but I do want to go back to just kind of what we were saying earlier. Cause I do think this is also the juicy part about like, I don't even know if there's more to say, but this is what I'm excited for. This part of like, oh, now you get to do all the things that you've been wanting to do.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I was talking to someone today, who's helping me with, oh my gosh, I've met the most amazing woman to help me with writing a sales page. Cause I am a great salesperson. Mm-hmm. I hate writing sales pages. Mm-hmm. Someone is helping me and she's amazing. So you're all going to like drool over the Alchemy for Healers sales page coming at you in a few weeks. But anyways, I was like sharing all of this with her, and I was like sharing, cause I've been particularly emotional today. And so I was, I may have cried on the phone with her, and, and I was sharing with her, and she was, and basically as we were talking, we got to a place of like, one of the fears here is like, if you have the life you want, you have to show up for it.
Hmm.
Like, when I have a job that's stressing me out and I'm doing a million things and I'm running a business and I'm parenting and I'm running, I have all these excuses for being stressed out, right? Mm-hmm. And I have all these ways I can delay, like, oh, I'll meditate when I like later, or I'll enjoy my life when I'm not so stressed out. I can just delay the responsibility of just fucking showing up for my life.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of a sudden, like the thing that's been, you've been praying for is resolved, which in my case is to be laid off, ironically enough, I can sit here and be like, oh my God, I'm gonna pay my bills. What the hell? This is stressful. I got rejected. Or I can actually show up for my fucking life and like be present. Mm. And so sometimes I think there's this fear of getting what we want, because then we have to like actually enjoy our life instead of like delay satisfaction. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
I understand what you mean. Like, I understand in concept, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who listening who are probably like, yeah.
Or there's people who are listening who are mad at me and they're like, no, my life would be better if I had a boyfriend, you idiot. That's fair. You can be mad at me.
But I think I'm just trying to understand, you have to show up for your life. Meaning there's no more excuses and nothing to hide behind.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's true. But like, I think, and this might be like a totally insensitive question. Okay. So I'm sorry if it is to you and to anyone listening who's like, duh, Eva, don't you get it? But it's like, when I think about showing up for your life, I'm thinking about all the things that like, not just you, but all of us. We're like, oh, if I had more time, I would just do this. And like, from what I can tell, you're fucking excited about doing those things. It doesn't feel like it's scary. It feels
Maybe show up isn't the right word. Maybe what I mean more is like, I think being present in our life is like the most important thing, right? I mean, this is one of the beliefs we share. Like the most important thing is to be like truly like Eckhart Tolle style, capital P, present in that capital N now. And it's,
which is a tall order, like to be like that all the time, because then you just be enlightened.
Yes, exactly. Give us at least another year. And I can say my high value is that like my responsibility is to show up in the present, in the now, with love. But I had all these excuses I could reach for so readily that were like, that's the most important thing. But also my kids have to eat and I have this thing my boss needs me to do and I have to blah, 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 and I'm building business so I can quit my job and blah, blah, blah. And I just had all these handy excuses. And now I hope like half the excuses fell off the back of the truck and I have fewer excuses.
Mm-hmm.
So if I continue to not be present in my own life, I'm increasingly aware of the fact that it's my own choice. It's always been my own choice, but because I have fewer and fewer excuses.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, but at the same, but I guess I'm just trying to understand where the struggle is to being present is, because again, this is like one of those like duh questions, but I'm kind of like being not present, like feels bad.
Oh yes. but I totally agree with you. I think what I was, the origin of that was that like, sometimes it feels scary to actually get the things we say we've been wanting, because then we're out of excuses and then we have to, because being present often feels good, but there's also usually a lot of like, there's other stuff you have to wade through to get to the being present, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, like I guess I'm just trying to like point out that sometimes we spend all this time longing for things.
And then when you get it, it's scary as fuck.
And then when you get it, it's really fucking scary.
Totally. Yes. Okay.
And yeah, there's a part of us that doesn't. And I would even argue sometimes there's a part of us that doesn't show up to like, okay, for example, I could say I want my business to be successful. And then there's a part of me that could just consistently show up 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe I'm actually really afraid of what it would mean if my business was really successful.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
and because there's a comfort in like, as fucked up as it is, there's a comfort in being stressed about money because that's really familiar to me.
Right. Totally. Yes, of course. Yeah. That, yeah. The devil that we know. Yeah. Which is where self-sabotage comes in sometimes, you know?
Which
can be a total bitch.
Which is not what I'm feeling. I'm just like, I think, because I'm in this pause, I'm kind of just I'm like, it's like, I feel like I'm standing in the middle of a room and it's a big circular room and there's a ton of doors. And like one of them I mentioned earlier is that like self-pity door. And I'm like, nope, I'm definitely not going down there. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other door that I was just describing. And so I kind of feel like I'm just in this space where I'm like surveying the room. And then I have to pick the door that I want to go down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because hasn't even been a week yet. Yeah. So there's like a lot to process, but excited for you though. I'm just super, super, super excited. I can't help it because I think I know you have all these awesome ideas and I've seen what you've been able to do even with a full-time job. Like you are just going to take all of that powerhouse-ness and like translate it into like, kind of like you said, like, now you're going to be able to actually, I don't know, do it. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be rewarding. It's going to be creative.
Yeah. And also hilariously, every single person that knows me and even people who only kind of know me, when they found out the news said, congrats though, right? This is a congrats.
I think everybody knew that you were ready to go.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. That's my juicy update.
Yeah.
But I am also excited because I do feel like to like tie it to like a like big picture spirituality thing. I also feel like because creating stillness just got easier. I don't know how to describe it, but I just have this sense that like kind of, especially based on that client reading that happened just on Friday, I do feel like I just feel like there's something that's about to be born.
Like you're on the precipice of something.
And I think I, for a long time, have been thinking in terms of like the courses that I create that I love or like coaches, like the clients that I work with, but I actually am feeling like there's a way of offering healing that is like just probably just a deeper version of what I already do, but I kind of feel that in the space that's been created, that's emerging. Mm-hmm. And I'm really fucking excited about that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so excited about that. Like I can feel that. I can feel it too. And also, yeah, it's like these things are born out of space, like because we have space and time to connect with ourselves and like listen to what's going on and to feel and to be in touch with ourselves, like all of that juicy, juicy, juicy stuff. I mean, I'm saying it and I almost feel bad. I don't know if this is like a strange thing. I wish everyone had like time to have this juiciness and most people don't.
Well, that's also, I'm not a inherently jealous person, but I have been really, really jealous of people with their COVID extra time, because that's the one thing I have had zero time.
Yeah, it's been like, so the opposite.
When people are like, what are you doing with all your COVID time? I'm like, fuck you, I'm like sweating it out building a business and I have less time, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
So my voice just cracked. You can tell how passionately I felt that. So I am deeply excited about the expanse of time that has opened up.
Yeah. You know what we should do? We should get some more money people on this podcast too.
Yes. Send us your recommendations, because I need all the money mindset. That's the lesson that I am learning over these next few months.
For sure. No, and I'm right there with you. Like, everyone's got money stuff. If you guys know, if you, to your audience, know other people who you would love to send our way, that would be great. Yeah. Money is such a very, it's a very strange thing.
Yeah. Such a strange thing. I mean, that also, listeners, that goes for anyone, anything. It doesn't have to just be about money. Like, we're always love to hear suggestions of people who should have the show.
Yeah, send us your people.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I have monopolized so much of the show, Eva, what's going on in your world? Well, also, you know, I just want to laugh, just so you guys know, listeners. Eva and I had this whole conversation in the beginning before we hit record. We were like, okay, so we're gonna write down the timestamp when we hit start recording, and then anytime we say something, because you guys know how we create the word quotes to like help promote the show, we're like, anytime one of us says something like really great, we'll just write down the time so we can find the quotes without re-listening to the whole episode. Yeah, that obviously did not happen, because we're just obsessed with talking to each other.
None of that happened. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, nope, no timestamp. I have no idea.
I did write down the first time. We started at 9:03.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, so then you're one step ahead of me. I didn't even write down the timestamp.
Now it's 10:10. So this can be the quote we use, is us talking about our failure to record quotes.
And this is what we do. And yet somehow we still managed to get it all done.
We do.
Well, as I mentioned to you before we recorded, I'm happy that you are so open and so willing to be vulnerable to talk about all this stuff, because this was the juiciness. I'm like, what's going on? I have only the things that going on in my life are not.
Can super I actually big. Say?
It's actually strange. Oh yeah.
I'm gonna interrupt you to talk about me again.
Please do.
Very briefly, I actually feel a little bit like one of my like responsibilities in this lifetime, for lack of a better word, is just to share vulnerably my own shit. Like, I feel, for whatever reason, I feel very comfortable sharing my own stories, and I actually kind of feel like it's a responsibility to just not like responsibility to talk about myself, I don't mean that, but like, if I'm going to share, it feels like I should share the truth, which includes like the messiness, because I feel like that's A, more interesting, but also B, like, that's how we help each other feel seen and heard, and that's where out of each other's stories we can like, you know, emerge and heal and blah, 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 blah. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what we committed to when we started this podcast, you know, that we would just want to like keep it real and not hide behind perfectionism. But I also think, thankfully, because we live in the age of Brené Brown, I think that's just happening more and more.
Yeah.
Sometimes people share vulnerably as like a tactic, which I think you can always kind of see through that, and then that's gross. Yeah. But no, I feel you. I think, interestingly enough, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I have an open book, but I actually think I can be quite private.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you sense that? Cause I can't tell how I come across, because sometimes I feel like I have this podcast and I'll talk about anything.
Yeah. I think of you as a little bit private, not like I have a good friend who I like laugh with her. I'm like, you're like the most private person ever. like you're not like close. You're not like overly private, but I think you are judicious in what you open up about.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think it takes me a long time to process things, and I don't usually process things out loud freely, like not even to like my partner. Like I have to process it on my own and understand, and then I'll like share.
That is fascinating. I have to process it out loud, or else I feel like I will lose my mind. And so Nick is like you. He's like, he doesn't announce something until he's processed it. So often I've stressed him out, because I will share like some half-cocked idea that's totally just like me processing, but because he doesn't share unless he's decided. He's like, oh my God, what is she about to go do?
Oh my God, I've been on that end. I've been with Nick where I'm like, I'm that person, someone's telling me something big. I'm like, I take their word. I take what they're saying, not with a grain of salt. I take it very literally and seriously.
Yes,
assuming that they mean it, because I don't say something until I like am.
Whereas for me, it's like I have to, the only way I can tell if it's like something I want to hold on to or not is by saying it out loud and seeing if there, if it still has substance, which we at this point know this about each other, but it took years. It took years. Funny. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But though, that makes a lot of sense that you, that you process internally and then you kind of, which I feel like is why you have so much beautiful wisdom. Cause I feel like you go off and like process and you like contemplate and you just like hold, like mull it over. And then you come back and you're like, so I have a gem for everybody.
Yeah. I think that who knows, it could just be perfectionism too. Maybe I just want to have gems for all.
Yeah. I mean,
but, no, really, I think it's really just that I do things very slowly. I don't know how people do things very quickly. I'm like I feel like a turtle oftentimes. Mm-hmm. I do things so slowly, which can be very difficult in a capitalistic world.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Are you impatient with yourself for doing things slowly, or do you, or is it just a like when the should energy? Like, do you want faster?
Oh yeah, all the time, but not in the middle. And I'm when I'm actually just doing the thing, I'm usually just enjoying it. And it isn't until later that I'm like, oh, you know, yeah, some type of like deadline or money or some outside sort of pressure that makes me feel like, then I get mad at myself. Like I'm always saying, I'm always saying to Adam, like, why can't I do things faster? Because he does things very quickly.
What's your moon sign? Do you know?
Oh, hold on. I just found out what it was. Let me think for a second. Set Aquarius.
Okay. I don't know anything about that one.
I think so. I think Aquarius. Okay. So in terms of what's going on with me, two things I want to discuss. Probably mostly the Akashic record. So for everybody who's listening, if you haven't caught on already, Kylie is teaching a course on how to read their Akashic records. I am part of that. I'm learning. I'm like a little baby reader. Trying to figure it out. This is very out of my wheelhouse. Very like uncomfortable for me. It's just actually very interesting to me that we can have all of these like conversations and also come from two totally different, like, I don't even know what you call it. Two different, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, I think the way we've often described it, we haven't actually used this language on the podcast as much, but it's how we describe it to ourselves, is that like, I'm the mystic and you're the meditator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is like the lens through which we see. Mm-hmm. And so I like to meditate, but not with the like ritual, like the, not the way that the rigor
with the passion.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we're looking for. And then like, you are curious, you can share really about mysticism, but you're not like down here being like, so I channeled someone's living soul.
I would say, I'm much more, I'm like the critical skeptic of spirituality, which is actually very interesting because I mean, come on. I'm also so out there in some ways that people would look at me and be like, you like skeptical? Like, I don't know how you can consider yourself skeptical because I have, you know, all these other things and rituals and crystals and all these other things. Okay. So as part of the course yesterday, when we were on our group call, something that came up for me, and this has actually come up on the podcast before, and I'm still struggling with it, trying to understand it. This idea that if I go too deep into the mystic side, I feel all of this resistance. I feel fear. What was really interesting actually for me in that call was noticing that skepticism was really just a cover for fear. Mm-hmm. Like that seems so obvious. Like, but I had no idea.
It didn't seem obvious to me until you said it. And then I was like, oh yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. But it's so interesting how the mind works. Cause even now that I'm more aware, the only reason I'm skeptical is because I'm like trying to be critical and like, keep something at bay that freaks me out. But at the same time, it's so strong that sometimes I'll get into like skeptical mind again and not even realize that that's, I just think
you
I'm just being skeptical.
It's so strong. You mean the fear is so strong, or you mean that the like,
the fear is so strong that I'll convince myself that the skepticism is actually real. Does that make sense? Like I forget again that I'm just like, probably that's probably just some sort of protection mechanism.
Well, it's interesting because I also feel like skepticism is valuable. So it's, I feel like sometimes these things are tricky because you're trying to go into uncharted territory. You have this fear. So the skepticism is showing up on one level to be like, stay away. That's scary. But also like, I feel like skepticism is very valid, especially in the space of like spirituality, bold claims, mysticism. Like there are people who are charlatans. There are people whose claims are bigger than their, like, you know, presence or whatever. And also there are people who claim a lot of things, but you don't, aren't actually right for you. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that the path before you feels tricky because it's not like you want your skepticism to go away. You kind of are just want it to, it doesn't seem like it's a bad thing, but you maybe want it to like dial down.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what's interesting is I think this might be a language thing too, but when I think of skepticism, closely intertwined with skepticism feels like cynicism. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like there's judgment in that. Mm. And I just know that it doesn't feel good. Yeah, it's not like a good, it's not like a good kind of like skepticism. It feels, I can't even explain it.
Yeah. Like judgment and cynicism of like, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Just and I can feel it like in my body more than I can even explain it. Like I'm trying to be present and then like, I can't because I have all these thoughts going in, also like judging like the whole thing, like my own personal experience. So it's just this, I mean, you have to understand this is a very freaking weird like paradox or dichotomy for me, because I'm someone who's equally, it's like I really just feel like just there's two sides of myself arguing with each other, because I'm someone who's so spiritually curious, so much of a seeker, like open to like a lot of weird fucking shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then simultaneously like having this other voice being like, yeah, the cynicism and the skepticism. Mm. And this is really interesting to watch because I've never experienced this before in myself. Meaning usually with spirituality, I'm like so curious. I'm just curious and I'm all in. I love it. And I get absorbed and I get sucked in really quickly. But for whatever reason, it's this diving into a different realm of this type of mysticism is very,
that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Like you've come up against some limit of like, oh, but we don't go there.
Yeah. And so we've talked about this on the podcast before. I think it's this idea of like the only thing that I could equate it to, and I do think it kind of makes sense, is like past life stuff of having been punished or burned at the stake at some point for being some type of witch,
yeah,
or something. And
or another version of it is that like you were a power hungry asshole in a past, right? Like maybe you were like some witch who was like the one who did terrible things to people with her power and you're freaked out. I mean, like, who knows, right? I guess, which is just to say, like, you could be the victim or the perpetrator.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, who knows? But I guess, like, so what am I supposed to do with this? If you have any suggestions as someone who's, you know, steeped into mysticism, as in, am I supposed to keep pushing forward?
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this a lot because we've talked about this on the show and outside of it. And then last night we had class, so it's been on my mind since then. And my initial reaction was like, oh, well, I'll just open Eva's records and we'll do a reading and we'll like dive in and we'll heal whatever this thing is. And I got a very clear, like, nope. So I do think that this is, which is not to say like, cause I've read your records before, right? So it's not a like, but it does feel like there's something here. There's something here for you to do for yourself that is important. Which made me a little sad because I was like, I just want to fix it for her. She's a little stressed out.
Oh, that's sweet. No, but I actually appreciate this, what you just said, which is like, if I meant to figure it out on my own, that's like probably the most loving thing, right?
Yeah. Like, which isn't, I think is different than like, you have to solve it on your own, but I think, kind of the image that I have. Okay. I'm not going to solve it for you, but I am going to like do a little intuitive reading.
Love it.
I feel a little like you have to take a leap of faith and you have to decide with that what a leap of faith looks like. Mm-hmm. But I think that you've been holding yourself back, right? So you're like sign up for the course, but you're like kind of, you know, dancing around it, processing, which, again, all good. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to decide what the leap of faith looks like for you. But I think there's an invitation for you to decide, like you said it best when you were like, there's two parts of myself. It's like you are splitting yourself, and you have to like, your whole life and career has been around self-love. And I think this is like the next big branch of self-love, because there's a part of yourself that you're like that cynicism that's popping up is you being cynical of a part of yourself, right? Because any judgment is always of ourself.
Yep.
So I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to know what you think, but it feels like it's important for you to take some action around diving in, even if it's just to the shallow end. Does that resonate?
It actually perfectly resonates perfectly, because so when I have gone into the records, this is what I'm hearing. Simultaneously, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, you're not ready. I've heard that actually multiple times now. And also, you just have to keep showing up.
Oh.
And I'm like really fucking annoyed.
Yeah,
at that,
that's annoying.
Because I'm like, so essentially you're telling me that something is here, but I'm not ready. So that means there's something that I need to be ready for. Like there's something here and I'm not ready. I'm like, okay. So then I keep asking, okay, so if I'm not ready, then like, what am I supposed to do? And also that's like very ominous, this idea of like, this feels scary. You're telling me I'm not ready.
Which is not helpful if it already feels scary and then you're getting this like, you're not ready.
Exactly. And then like, that feels like but it doesn't, I have to say, there's no malice behind it. You know, the voice is like very calm and unbiased as you would imagine. And, cause in, I, you know, it's like, kind of like you're saying, the universe has no sense of time. There's no
right
or wrong or good or bad. Like she doesn't care, you know, like there's no judgment from her also, or even any knowledge or understanding of like whether or not that's good or bad. But then I'm like, okay, so then is there anything that I can do to be like more ready? Like, what am I supposed to do? And they're just like, just keep showing up. Wow. And I'm like,
okay.
And then you can just imagine how much my ego doesn't like that, right?
God, yeah. What if, so you asked in our group for the class, an interesting question, which was like, what would happen if I like, would it be valuable to open the records before and after a client, like my own records before and after a client reading? And which is to say, for people who are listening, what's cool about the records is that you can use it as like basically an amplifier for lots of things. So like there are people who open the records to paint or open the records before they do Reiki for someone. Like it doesn't always have to be, I've opened the records and now I'm channeling through messages for you. What if you opened your records with, and like said, like, I'm not interested in receiving messages. I'm here for the energy, and then sat down to meditate.
And just did a regular meditation.
And just did a regular meditation.
Oh, interesting.
But in the space of the records.
Yeah.
And see what that, because that's also like bringing in something that is like, you're like safe and familiar.
Right. Well, yeah. And that kind of, I think that's interesting. And I don't think that I think of those things because I still don't understand how to use the records. I'm like, what is that? You know, but it sounds like the records could just be used for anything.
Well, a little, I mean, I think that's also because it depends on like, it wouldn't make sense for me. It depends on who you are. Right? It wouldn't make sense for me to open the records and then do art. I mean, I could, but like, I'd do chicken scratch doodles, right? Like, so it's not like a, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't speak to me.
Yeah, but you could technically use it however you want it to.
I mean, that question feels really broad, so that part makes but I feel like I feel like if there's something that you are doing with loving intention and it feels right to have the records be the container around that thing, that, you know, it's important to close them afterwards. That's the other danger. If you open them, you're like, I'm going to cook dinner in the records, and then you like forget to close them. And then you're like, you know, boundaries are valuable. So
yeah, that was actually another question I had. What happens if you forget to close the records?
I mean, I'm not very, I'm not very good at this. That's like at my own confession. With my own clients, I'm like very like weird, but with my own, I think because it, maybe because I slip in and out of them a lot myself, but I am not, or sometimes I'm like in the records and then my kid comes running in the room. And then, so I will confess I'm not
like super dogmatic about,
I'm not super dogmatic, but I also am not super dogmatic around like shield and protect. Like there's some people who are like really identify as empaths and they do a lot of like energy work around being an empath, and like that doesn't, and maybe I would benefit from it, but that feels, that doesn't speak to me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not as clean with energetic boundaries as I think I should be. I think there's an opportunity for me to be a little
there. And so one can slip in and out of the records without even needing to say the opening prayers. Is that?
Yeah. I think a lot of people who have, like, I think it's not uncommon for, especially if someone's like always been interested in the records and then like is like officially enters the records. It's like, oh, I've been here before. Mm. I just didn't know what to call it, you know, like be it in a deep meditation or, you know, when I was a kid or, you know what I mean? But yeah.
Okay. I could ask a million more questions, but I feel like I should save this. I will put a pin in these because I think these are also good questions for the course.
I mean, yeah, well, either way, whatever we can. But I guess my question is, I want to help you with this. I want to help you with this kind of stumbling block. I don't want to call it stumbling block, but this thing.
Yeah. Is, yeah. I mean,
because I feel like this is why your ancestors told you to take the course, right? Like, I feel like the records aren't necessarily that important for you so much as like this thing that's coming up around like mystics. Does that feel true, or do you, am I putting words in your mouth?
Well, to me, they feel connected. I mean, I don't feel like they're separate. So like, so the fear is very specific to the idea of venturing into some weird unknown scary place, which to me has to do with I don't even know what to call this, you know, like mysticism, but like this idea of opening up a whole can of worms is what it feels like.
How does this feel different than doing like mushrooms?
That's such a good question. I think actually they don't feel that different. That's why it's really scary to me. But with mushrooms, that's the thing about mushrooms. Mushrooms can be really, really like for the most part, actually most people I think can report that they have a wonderful experience, but there's also actually plenty of people out there who can say that they've had a bad trip. And you are taking a risk anytime you take a psychedelic. And I've also, I think actually you're bringing up a good point. I think, I've seen like the really, really dark tripped out side of like the mind and psychedelics or whatever you want to call it, other dimensions. I don't even have language for it, right? It's just, it's so scary. And it feels like these are like similar things kind of. So like, I know how scary it can be, and it's like, ugh.
That's why what's interesting to me, because like I have no interest in psychedelics. Like that seems very uncomfortable and scary to me. Like I loved hearing your story, but I was like, well, nope. So I'm curious, like,
there's this like this fear that if I open it, I won't be able to close it. Cause at least with you on psychedelics that like it'll, there's an end.
Oh, that's interesting.
Generally speaking that like, I don't know. Again, I have no idea where this fear is coming from. It's this like very real fear of like, okay, my feeling is that if I venture into this work, it's going to change me completely and I won't be able to stop it. I can't, it's going to be like a portal that I can't close essentially. And it might have, you know, it feels like ego death a little bit, like the same thing that I'm scared of when you think of ego death. Oh, it just means I'm going to have to be a completely different person. My whole life is going to have to change. I might have to lose everything that I've ever loved. Like that's how intense it feels. Like I will lose. And you've talked about this before too, right? When you first started talking about how, right, like you were afraid that you were going to put your family in jeopardy. Like
yeah. That kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And look, here I am getting fired. So, you know.
True. And surviving though. So maybe.
Yeah. No, I wonder. I'm thinking a couple things. One is, have you asked in the records where this fear comes from?
No, I'm gonna write that down.
Or I mean, maybe one of the questions you could ask is, because this is what's interesting to me, is that like you are connecting, right? You're getting this like, you're not ready, but keep coming.
Yes.
But I recently had an experience where I like asked a question in the records and I got an answer. And then I asked a question later and I got a different answer. And I was like, what?
Uh-huh.
And they were like, it's about it's the question that you ask. Like in that moment, the question, okay, it was so silly, but because I have anxiety about money, I was like basically asking like, what should I charge for my course? Cause I'm relaunching mm-hmm. Alchemy for Healers. And I was like, what should I charge for my course? And they gave me one number. And then I asked again, cause I'm neurotic around what I should charge for these things. So mm-hmm. I'm asking it. And they gave me a different number. And I was like, what the fuck? Was I not in the records? Like, what was that? And they're like, mm-hmm. you were in a very scared place before. Like mm-hmm. you were holding space for this amount. Now you're holding space for this amount. So you get to decide if you're going to launch this course, what are you holding space for?
Oh, very interesting. So meaning it's like kind of how you show up to the records is how they will respond.
Well, the less how you show, I mean, that's a little bit, but it was more was think about the question you are asking, right? So I was asking this very kind of small focused question.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, and so I didn't actually get the answer that I needed was, about like hold the energy that the course is worth, right?
Mm-hmm. I see.
But I didn't ask that question. I asked, what should I charge? So maybe it's worth thinking about how you could ask some questions to better understand this fear.
Okay.
It's different than, because it sounds like what you've asked is like, well, what should I do? And they're like, keep showing up. Because if you think of it this way, it's infinite knowledge. So if we're not specific, it's like, that's part of the process, right? Is like figuring out like, you know, and sometimes it's to make you frustrated. You're like, you have this answer for me all the time. And it's like, well, you didn't ask that, you know?
This is interesting. So, okay. So it depends on how you ask the question.
I think so. And not in a like trickster way, right?
Yeah.
But just in a like, you know, honestly, in a like respecting free will way, like at least for me, when I read for clients, like always, there's always a request. Do you want to know about this past life? Like I never just channel through the past life. There's always a pause. Like, do you want to know this information?
Mm-hmm.
I have free will to know about this past life or not. Or like, so I think part of it is a respect for free will. Like you didn't ask about that other thing. So we're not going to tell you because we respect your agency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to my second point. So my first thought for you is like, think of some different ways to ask around, like, how do I understand this fear? What might help me dissolve this fear? Maybe that's some of the energy kind of assignment for this week around doing some energy healing might be like, what's in, like, can show me an energy healing that we could do to help dissolve this fear a little bit.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, now you're getting creative.
Yeah. But then the cool. other thing that I'm thinking is it feels like you need to feel tethered to reality and mm-hmm. also like you have agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, okay, so here's an idea. After we're done recording,
mm-hmm.
we could open your records and create an energetic tie uh-huh. to like Eva in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when like someone's like rappelling down like the side of a cliff,
uh-huh.
they're like anchored in, they're not just free floating.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder, I'm just making this up, but I wonder if we opened your records and did a little like, I mean, you could do it yourself,
uh-huh.
but of like, okay, like I'm energetically tying Eva to her real life apartment. I'm tying myself to this plant.
Oh, I love that. This is like so interesting to me. Like this is mind blowing to me that these are things that you can do.
I mean, I'm making this up, but uh-huh. I think that's it. It's in us is all infinite. So you can make up anything.
All right. I'm so down. Super.
It might help you feel
safer, you know? Because I do feel like you need to give yourself something to allow you, you know, like when we did the guided meditation in class, and there was like, before you went into the cave, there was a lantern, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you need your version of a lantern that's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Everybody get yourself a friend who can help you do an energetic tie. and who you can have mini therapy sessions with. Cause I feel like this was like just basically us talking and.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Once a month we have Kylie and Eva episodes, and it's actually just that we take turns coaching each other.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We forgot to mention that. So hopefully people who listen. Yeah. Weston, now, if you've been here for a while, you know that we do these once a month, Kylie and Eva episodes. I would like to do them a little bit more often.
And now you've figured out that there's no guest.
Yeah. This isn't just a very long intro.
Oh god, I mean, we do have long intro.
That's the thing. People are like, wow, they're really going for it this week.
Yep, man, really waiting for that guest.
And now this week's guest. Oh my goodness. Okay, boy. So do we have anything we want to share with our lovely listeners before we go?
That we love them.
Yes.
They should join our Facebook group.
Yes. Okay. So if you're not part of the group already, come find us. The Hello Universe Community Facebook group.
Yes.
Get more of Kylie. Get more of me. Get share more of
your own spiritual questions in a like nice, safe, awesome community.
Yeah. With other people who also, you know, if they like love the show, then they're probably going to be into the same things you're into.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Might be a good place to find a friend who can create an energetic tie for you.
Actually, this group probably one of the places where you can find that.
Yeah.
And if you haven't already, we would so appreciate it if you could like, subscribe, and rate the show. We've talked about this in the past, but honestly, rating the show literally takes 5 seconds, and I had no idea. Before I made a podcast, I thought that it was this whole long complicated thing, but you really just, if you have an Apple phone, you literally just go into the podcast, scroll down. There's an option for you right there. Just like to hit review and star. So bada bing, bada boom.
Two more things. One, if you have a friend who you think might like the show, please recommend it, because that also makes a big difference. And, we are so passionate about our show, and we'd love it to be in the earbuds of anyone who might, enjoy. Yeah. And then also, we're going to use a little bit out of order, but Eva, what is something that's bringing you joy?
Oh, right. Oh my goodness. I'm so happy you remembered, because I don't want to break the tradition. Okay. So the thing bringing me joy is very silly. I actually shared about it on Instagram already, and you already commented, but I am obsessed with Property Brothers, which which previous to basically this month, I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know the show existed.
What? Yeah, you have like 1,000,000,000 hours worth of TV to catch up on.
I know, exactly.
So many shows.
Except I've realized I'm like bougie, and I don't like the ones that are really old, because now the show is like 10 seasons. Yeah, style-wise, I'm like, ugh, those are ugly. So I only want to watch like the most recent ones. But it's not like, I can acknowledge, it's the same show over and over and over again. Have you?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, no. I've gone through hardcore HGTV binge periods of my life. It is the exact same show every single time.
Yeah, but I think that's actually, I think what it is, it's comfort watching for me. Oh, something about it feels so, it's almost like watching The Office for some people, myself included. I watch The Office when I get like really sad, or Clueless, or like Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like those are my go-tos. And this, I feel like it's also like, I already know what's going to come up. I know exactly all the houses are going to be open concept. Like, you know what I mean? They have the same structure. Yes. Like I know exactly what to expect. These two brothers, if you don't know what the show is, it's like two brothers who like they buy a fixer upper, and then they help the people who buy it to renovate it. And,
there's always a, there's always like one catastrophe where like something that they didn't budget for comes up.
Exactly. Yeah.
My favorite is the episodes where like there actually wasn't really a catastrophe, so they have to manufacture one, and they're like, oh no, we have to move the sink an inch further than we thought. And they're like, that's not actually a problem. But you needed something.
And I just love the couples who come on, not usually the families or the couples, whoever the person. It's always interesting to watch people. I'm a people person, so like I get into analyzing like the dynamics of the couple. Are they arguing? Are they on the same page? I just find it so fascinating, because renovating a house is a stressful thing, so it's funny to see how people go through it. Anyway,
you watch House Hunters?
No.
Mm-mm. You've never watched House Hunters?
So I've never, so I just recently got the Hulu of somebody else. Oh. And so I've never had, and I don't have like, I don't even have a TV. So like, I just watch.
Oh, okay. So if you think you like Property Brothers because you like the like simple repetition, House Hunters is the ultimate formulaic, like, I can't even count how many times I've fallen asleep to House Hunters because it's just this like, oh my God, it's
oh yay, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not good. I'm not telling you that it's good, but it is a lovely, it's a lovely repetitive, it's like a sound machine of a TV like a, show.
Yeah. That's a wonderful way to describe these shows. It's the sound machine of a TV show. I love it. Yeah, yeah, so it's bringing me joy. Like, literally, it is bringing me joy though. Like, I it's just a nice, I don't know, I feel comfortable watching it. So yeah, that's my thing. Thanks. What about you, Kylie? What's something that's bringing you joy?
So, my life is a roller coaster of emotion. This tonight, I will just say my family's bringing me joy. My husband has been amazing. Mm. My kids are so freaking cute. There was one night that I was sad right after I got fired, and I was kind of started to cry a little bit. And my son goes, "Mama, why are you crying?" And I said, "Well," I go, "you know how Mama has a job that she works for a company and a job where she works for herself." And I said, "Well, the company told me they don't want to work there anymore." And, you know, I was like, it's just sad when someone, like, it's like kind of like if someone told you they don't want to play with you. And he looked at me and goes, "I'll play with you extra so you don't need to cry now."
Oh my God. The love of a kid.
I know. And so
it's like he gets it and he just wants to show up and like love you unconditionally to pieces because that's what kids do.
God. It was very, very sweet. And tonight we went to the beach, which I think I've mentioned on the show before. In the summer, we often go in the evening. So at like 5:30, we'll go to the beach until like 7:30 or 8, which is great, especially in COVID because we don't have to worry about there being lots of people. It's super fun. And so we went again tonight and I just had this moment where I was swimming in the water. I came back, I was playing in the sand. Birdie was like playing in the sand and I was laying on a towel and Nick and my son were swimming. And I just had this like wave of peace wash over me. Like I just in that moment without trying, you know how sometimes you try to make yourself peaceful, you know, you're I already said go. It just like, I just like tripped and fell into peace. And I just felt so just content.
Mm.
And it was really
so beautiful.
I'm very grateful for that. So,
yeah, that sounds beautiful. And maybe possibly a sign.
Yeah. Also, I'm grateful. I'm joyful to, I don't know if I would say joyful. I'm grateful that I'm in this next leg of my journey. And I trust that I will feel joyful about it. So I have moments of feeling joyful about it.
Yeah. But I hear you. You don't have to feel joyful now. It's again, so early in all of this. I as someone from the outside though, I know it's going to be joyful and I just cannot, I can see that for you and I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. It's going to be awesome. And I hear you about the gratitude though, because it's crazy. It's actually like, when I really think about it, you've been wanting this for like so long and now it's happened. Wow. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah. And seriously guys, I said exactly this. Like I would say to people like, "Oh, I'm manifesting a layoff with some severance." like I would say that. And I'm not actually someone who like, I'm not super big. I don't spend a lot of time in manifestation for a whole host of reasons, which at some point we should discuss.
Yeah.
But that was like a thing that I was saying. And so be careful what you wish for.
Well, I am curious, when you were manifesting that, did you actually think that it was going to happen? And were you like prepared? Were you like, if it does actually happen, I'll be like, did you know, I guess, what you were asking for?
Yes. I think I always would have wanted 2 more months. Do you know what I mean? Like if it happened in October, I would have been like, "Oh shit, I wish it happened in December." Like,
yeah.
So in this moment, I'm like, yes, I just kind of wanted 2 more months, but I also totally see that if I had 2 more months, I would have wanted two more months.
But see, that's what I mean. Like there would have never, ever been, if you had ever gotten it at the time that you wanted it to happen, you would never leave this job.
Which is also why I was manifesting a layoff, was because I knew that I wouldn't actually, it would take a Herculean amount of like I would have to actually be Oprah before I would feel comfortable quitting because do you know what I mean? So
totally. So this is why it's so powerful. And I think it's so exciting. I know it's also scary. Definitely, for sure. And I will be here to walk with you along every side of those, that scary step. But ultimately I think it's like, yeah, if it didn't happen, if it happened on your timeline, again, you would just be at this job forever, ever, forever.
Yeah. So,
oh my God. Well, I'm so excited to, it'll be interesting. We're going to be like, this is why this podcast is fun. We get to chronicle our journeys.
And now I do feel like for a while, one of the things that made us different from other podcasts is that like I had a corporate job. Let's think like a million podcasts of like two friends who are entrepreneurs.
Yeah. That's okay. Now we're just one of those. We're
also two friends who are entrepreneurs. But you know what, guys? We'll find other ways to keep it real.
Yeah, we'll keep it fresh in other ways. All right.
Good night. Love you all.
Love you. Bye.